Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and this morning's conversation is with Tom Day, Senior Vice President of Intelligent Mail and Address Quality at the U.S. Postal Service. Also joining us in our conversation is Bill Takis, IBM's U.S. Postal Service industry leader. Tom, as are all businesses in the economy, the Postal Service is perhaps facing some serious economic challenges. Can you give us an overview of some of these challenges? For example, declining mail volumes, rising fuel costs, the typical things that we see today with most businesses?
Absolutely. The Postal Service is really no different than, I think, any other entity in this economy. It is a challenging time. But as our Postmaster General has indicated, unfortunately for us, it is somewhat the perfect storm. We had already faced and continue to face declining volumes. We are challenged by the internet. It is certainly an alternative means to communicate among people. There's certainly some generational issues there, but you don't have to be young to use the internet, and we've seen electronic diversion. That is a reality, and we've been dealing with it. But now add on top of it the current economic challenge, which has really accelerated the pace at which volume is declining and revenue, of course, is decreasing with it. We're also seeing a shift because the electronic diversion has impacted us more heavily in first-class mail. And to really break it down into a smaller or a subset of the first-class mail, it's what financial services do, and particularly bill presentment and bill payment. There's been a significant move for people, particularly on bill payment, to do it via the internet as opposed to hard copy. I know I get it in my own mail at home through the various financial entities that I deal with. They're constantly encouraging me to move to the internet and not get things through the mail. So we're faced with that challenge, and then the economy, I would say, and this goes back, I've heard it for several years, but I think it's very, very true that, again, unfortunately for the Postal Service, the mail in general tends to be a leading indicator of economic downturn, but it's a trailing indicator of economic recovery. And so we see declining volumes as we go into economic slowdown, and then unfortunately on the back end it doesn't come back quite as fast. And the challenge that we fully recognize is that as the economy recovers, and it will, it's just a question of time, it's a cyclical effect, and when it recovers, will we get everything back? And again, as we think through it, unfortunately, the answer there may be probably not, because we still have this electronic diversion issue to deal with. It's also changing the mail mix. We've, in the last couple of years, shifted over where a simple majority of the mail was always first-class mail. In the last few years, that's actually changed. There's more advertising mail than first-class mail. And the margins associated with those two mail types are significantly different. So we're challenged on that. But it's more than just the revenue. We're constantly, like any business, trying to control cost. And we've done an excellent job of reducing the size of the organization, again, without having to do layoffs. We've been able to do it through attrition. But we have the ongoing pressure of the cost of a work hour. Whether it's on the salary side, we've got a significant cost of a living adjustment that's going into effect right now. And on top of that, it's the benefit side. And I think the benefit side in terms of a percentage increase is where we see some of the bigger pictures. Health benefits, for example, continue to go beyond, say, consumer price index type of increase. So we're challenged really on both sides of the equation. We see declining revenue, and we are working our very hardest to control cost and keep the income position as best we can. But unfortunately, we've incurred some losses in the last couple of years, and we're going to be fighting hard in 2009 through the same kind of scenario.
So are there any key programs or initiatives that you're looking to roll out or execute to address some of these challenges to help weather some of the storm that we're in?
We have a whole host of initiatives, both on cost control and revenue generation side. What we have just put out within the last month is our Vision 2013. We have a mandate, as do federal agencies, to put forward five-year plans. We've done extremely well with the plans that we've put in place over the last couple of years. Our transformation plan that was requested by Congress was extremely successful. We delineated exactly what we wanted to do, very carefully put together a plan, and then executed it. And we're able to achieve the type of cost reductions and other aspects of that plan under the leadership of Jack Potter. Really, Jack was the driving force behind that and really provided the leadership, and we were able to execute. Well, we've updated that. Here we are in 2008, and we've got the five-year plan going to 2013. And we're building upon a very strong base. We've performed well. We've had good financial positions, as difficult as it's recently been. Excellent service performance. We're very careful about measuring service, understanding what we're doing for our customers. So based upon that really strong foundation, we have a three-pillar approach. One is focusing on customers. Our name is the Postal Service, and we always have to remind ourselves, and we're really trying to ingrain it in our culture, that what our business is about is providing service to our customers. So that's really the focus of this plan. What are our customer needs and making sure that what we come up with is fulfilling those needs? And then leveraging our strength. We have a well-established network. We have a distribution and logistics network that is unparalleled. We are this ubiquitous agency that literally goes up to every door in America every day. And I have to tell you, as I have to travel to different meetings and conferences around the U.S., I'm always amazed. You know, you go in a plane coast to coast and you're up in the air for 5 hours. And I think about the fact, as you look down, every single household, every house I saw, someone from the U.S. Postal Service was at that door today. Nobody else does that. It's an amazing aspect that we have. It's a real strength. And so leveraging upon that established network. And then finally, the last pillar is embracing change. The internet is competition for us. It is electronic diversion, but it's also a huge opportunity. And we just made a significant structural change in the Postal Service, reinvigorating our whole effort around revenue generation. We not only changed the organization, but we brought in some individuals that I think are just really unbelievable talent and experience. We've got Bob Bierenstock, who is our president of mailing and shipping services, and Dave Schoenfeld, who's our senior vice president for mailing services, really have brought a very fresh approach. And one of the key initiatives that they've brought in, and Bob is really pushing this, and he's exactly right, is we've got to embrace the internet. We've got to use the internet as it faces our customers as a better way, more convenient way for them to access postal services and products. So we're really doing that. So as much as the internet may be competition, it's also a huge opportunity, and we're doing that. Another key one is we want to be a sustainability leader. Greening of the mail, and it's not just words, it's not just a phrase. We're really embracing that. Internally, we're trying to embrace that even more than we ever have, and we've got a strong environmental record, but we want to go beyond that. But it's about how we and the entire mailing industry really go forward with the greening of the mail. The bottom line is, you put this all together, it's about how do we keep the Postal Service and the products and services we offer viable and valuable to the American public.
You mentioned previously, Tom, that Congress had passed legislation designed to address some of these challenges that you've been talking about. Can you tell us a little bit more about the Postal Accountability and Enhancement Act that was passed back in 2006? And specifically, how has it changed the way your organization does business?
We're still working through how it changes our business. It is a different regulatory environment. The Postal Rate Commission, that was really focused just on the pricing aspect of our business, a few other things, but generally that's what they were focused on, to now what is a Postal Regulatory Commission, which with a much broader range of authority and providing oversight to the Postal Service. And we're still working through that whole relationship. At the time the law was passed, I was the Senior Vice President of Government Relations, so I was very immersed in the law itself. But as is the case with really any major piece of legislation like that, there is the passage and enactment of the law, but then there's the whole, as they would describe it, the promulgation of the rules and regulations. So as much as we're really almost two full years into that, it's still an ongoing process, and we're working through that. I must say, between the regulatory commission, the commissioners themselves, their staff, and our senior management, as well as our own board of governors, I think it's a very good working relationship. There's been very open dialogues. I can tell you that I'm involved in meetings on a monthly basis, even more often with staff. So it's been very dynamic. And the benefit we've seen from the law is it gives us a different pricing regime. It splits our business into two parts, although physically we haven't split the business into two parts. But in terms of accounting and pricing, we do it in two parts. The majority of our business, the market dominant, the monopoly products, about 90% of the revenue and volume, we handle through a pricing that requires us to keep our prices in aggregate under the consumer price index. so it's tied to inflation. On the competitive side, a great deal of flexibility, and we're still exploring how to make best use of that. And again, I would say Bob Bernstock and Dave Schoenfeld and other guys like on our staff, Gary Reblin, who's our vice president for expedited products, and Jimmy Cochran, who handles package services. We're exploring how to best take use of that. But it puts us in a market-based price. Really, the only thing the law requires on our competitive products is we have to make sure that we cover costs, attributable costs. And the simple thing there is the law requires, and the Regulatory Commission certainly will keep an eye on us, and it's right to do that, is to make sure that our competitive products are not cross-subsidizing our market dominant. But beyond that, we have market pricing capability. And so that's great flexibility from the law, and we're still exploring how to best take advantage. It's not that we've been waiting. We've already done a number of very interesting things, but we've got, we believe, more opportunity to do even more creative things there.
And you spoke about some of the implementation of the Act. Can you tell us a little bit about or highlight some of the challenges that you've encountered as you've been implementing over the last 2 years?
Well, again, having been involved with what led up to the passage of that law, and there was a great deal of activity. I mean, if you were to go back and look at the law that was enacted in 2006, but look at the earlier versions that were the language that was available in both the House and Senate versions and how it was finally negotiated to its final form, you know, with all the best intent, there's some things, as much as you try to think through it, and we were actively involved, you know, offering some caution about what could or couldn't be done. Some of the enactment, it doesn't happen quite as fast. And one of the ones that we've been working on, I've personally been working on, is service measurement. It's rather complex. The law requires us to put in place detailed service measurement systems for all of our market dominant products. And again, that's about 90% of our volume and revenue. And the products differ greatly. It's everything from first class mail to advertising mail, to magazines, newspapers, packages, and even our special services, things like insurance, money orders, post office boxes, the various services we offer. And we've got to devise systems that measure those in statistically valid ways. We don't want just a series of numbers, because we ourselves are accountable for those numbers, and certainly the Regulatory Commission will hold us accountable for them. So they've got to be accurate numbers. And so devising that system and making it meaningful data is a bit of a challenge. And in many ways, we wished we could have turned it on quicker, but it takes time to build those systems and make sure they're working properly.
Tom, I want to go back to a comment you made earlier around the greening of the mail. Could you elaborate on some of the key green initiatives being pursued by the Postal Service, and have you collaborated or consulted with or being consulted for by other organizations in this area?
Let me start with the back end first. We are absolutely committed to it. We've taken the step, while we've always had strong environmental programs, award-winning environmental programs, it's been somewhat fragmented. Different parts of the organization had responsibility for different aspects. It was clear that we needed a much more organized approach to bring everything under a single umbrella. Last May at the National Postal Forum, Jack Potter announced that Sam Pulcrano, who had been responsible for our environmental programs, was promoted to become our newly created position, Vice President for Sustainability. Sam's done a fantastic job in the short time that he's been in the job of pulling all of these things together. And collaboration is absolutely what it's about. What we need to do, what we are doing, is to do things that provide for sustainability and greening the mail, but you can't do it unto yourself. It cannot just be a Postal Service activity. And so the collaborative effort has gone on with the mailing industry. We work very closely with a whole host of players in the industry. We tend to work with the various trade organizations, but individual mailers as well, to have this collaborative effort so that the greening of the mail, again, is not just a postal activity, it is an industry activity. And that activity is going very well. Some of what we do is to promote recycling and reuse. It's often misunderstood about what really is in the mail. There are environmental concerns, and I understand why those concerns are raised, but then you get into the facts of what's really there. A significant volume of mail is already using recycled paper. And to the extent that that mail is then disposed, we want to continue that cycle that, even if it was recycled paper to begin with, we want to recycle it again. So we're into that that whole recycling effort, reuse effort. We actively participate in that and actually find that there's a bit of revenue to generate. You know, rather than just having people haul away trash, which costs you money, if you organize yourself, and we have, into a well-organized recycling effort, it isn't just trash haulage. You actually get paid some money, depending on where paper values are, for what is being recycled. So that's been very, very good for us. One of the other initiatives of many, we have our products that are used to ship packages that are available in our retail outlets. We are the first package shipper that was able to go to market with a cradle-to-cradle certified package product. And that's a very detailed, intricate process that ensures that the makeup of that package, the cardboard paper products, the inks being used, the various aspects of that piece really do take into account a cradle-to-cradle, a full life-size cycle analysis of what is happening there for sustainability purposes. And so the package products we offer are meeting that cradle-to-cradle certification process. So we have a whole host of things. I could go on and on. You know, the other thing I would just note is what we do with our vehicle fleet. We put about 220,000 vehicles on the road every day to get mail delivered. I believe that's the biggest fleet in America. So how that fleet is powered, what fuels we use, how efficient they use fuels is all important. We have the largest fleet of alternative fuel vehicles in America, and we've actively explored and will continue to work with the auto industry on things like hybrids and hydrogen fuel cell vehicles. In fact, we had the first hydrogen fuel cell vehicle that was used in an active delivery fleet in America. So we're into all of that, and we're looking at every aspect of what we need to do. To do the full picture of greening the mail.
That's fantastic. Great. Now, I only have a minute left, but I want to take us quickly back to 2001 and the anthrax scare. I understand that you were involved in the Postal Service's response to these events. How did this experience inform your current emergency preparedness efforts, and how safe is the U.S. mail today?
Well, I'll start with how safe is the U.S. mail. The U.S. mail is absolutely safe. We've taken a number of precautions and implemented active technology systems that allow us to detect threats in the mail and contain them should they be there. And really beyond the technology, our most valuable asset are our own employees. Our own employees are highly aware because as much as technology works, it can't detect everything, and there's nothing like the eyes, ears, hands, nose, you name it, people interface with mail. And they are really the ones that are our frontline people that help us the most. And we've spent the time to make sure they're trained and aware and what to look for and what to do with it. So overall, the 2001 experience was quite unique with the anthrax scare. I would say actually our history of emergency preparedness is quite good. We have a culture that says we get the mail delivered, and we've stood up to the challenge in the anthrax scare. It was more than a scare. It was a real event. Our response to that was a very good one, well-organized one, both in the short and the long term. But we also had pretty solid performances even after the major natural disasters, hurricanes, earthquakes, forest fires, you name it. We do quite well with that. Our mission is to get the mail delivered, and we move forward and get that done.
That's fantastic. Thank you. What is the Intelligent Mail Barcode Initiative? We will ask Tom Day, Senior Vice President of Intelligent Mail and Address Quality within the U.S. Postal Service, to share with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.